Hello, everybody. Y'all come on in.
Let's see. All right, today it's just open coaching for anything. So you can get coached on weight, and get coached on relationships. You can get coached on anything and everything that could be bugging you or standing in your way, or maybe you need to brainstorm things that you would like to do or try in order to lose weight. We can sometimes we can work on goals. There's all kinds of things that we can work on. So if you want coaching, you need to raise thy hand right now, or it's going to be a real short day because none of you need coaching. Okay, Wendy, you are up first. Y'all keep trying to get people to raise their hand. If you're wondering, I am wearing orange today. Tennessee won. We did win. Dylan Sampson also set records yesterday, just saying. I have my little orange necklace, got a little orange ring on. I just didn't wear orange regalia from head to toe. I've got two more calls after this one. All right, Wendy, let's get you unmuted.
There I am.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing pretty wonderful. UT got all the help and some yesterday in our
Okay.
pursuit to get into the college football playoffs. We needed a couple of losses and we ended up getting three ahead of us. So
That's always helps.
yes, it does. So, all right, what you want help with today?
Well, I've been trying to get to the bottom of my nighttime eating.
Okay.
And I think what I've come up with through my discovery worksheets and whatnot is that when I'm waiting till I'm hungry, I sometimes don't eat until 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Okay.
So I have somehow, and so I think I am hungry when I do the nighttime eating because I eat so late, I start so late. So I want help with evening out my eating through the day. I don't think I'm overeating as much as I'm eating everything all at once.
Why would that be a problem if you're eating it all at once?
Because I'm going way past full.
Okay. So
I
you're
think.
not eating everything at once. You're going past. I just want to make sure because there's a difference between if let's say you're genuinely not hungry and like my 85-year-old grandmother, she is not hungry until usually like late afternoon dinner. And she kind of just eats once a day, but she's also like, I'm going to be real honest, she's on a walker. She doesn't do anything all day. I know that's not you, but if she's
That's
eating to
close.
enough, it's not a problem. Now, if she was eating all night long because her two of her children have died, she's all alone, her husband has passed, and she starts eating and she's just eating through the night to cover up her emotions, we're not really eating all of our food at once. What she's doing is, I'm having the meal I'm hungry for, and then I'm eating for other reasons. So,
I think that's true of me too.
okay. All right. So, there's a couple things to try. So, we'll start tactically first, and then let's dive into what's going on later in the evening, because this is what I want to warn you, Wendy. Is that if I start feeding you earlier in the day, but you're actually eating in the, well, tell me why you think you're eating in the evening, other than I've over-dieted during the day. If it was an emotional reason, it's for what?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I think what happens is when I start to eat, I like fall into it. I fall into the couch. I fall into the TV. I'm like,
Well, we
okay.
don't fall.
I sink. I sink down.
No, we don't think. You know what we do? We don't think.
Yeah.
Because
I
that'd be
don't.
like me saying, you know what? I just fell out of this chair because I was tired. I mean, I don't
Right.
know what happened, but I really didn't want to coach anybody today. And I'm just, there was nothing I could do. I mean, I just didn't want to coach. We
No,
all
you're
like,
right.
it's just a good idea to always articulate more neutral, like in a, well, articulate what's happening in a way that helps you solve a problem. If it's happening without your control, like I just fall,
Oh,
like
it's not.
I have no
It's just
idea
not.
where this comes from, we can't help you.
It's a decision.
Yes. So if we start saying like every night, I know exactly what happens. I start eating, I get on the couch and I do this because what's the reason?
I want to zone out.
And tell me why you want to zone out. That's really good. That's good information.
I think it's, my husband died like 22 years ago. And that's when this and the weight gain started.
Okay.
And I had a son, you know, and he was a teenager, and I would be myself all day. And then it would come to nighttime and I would zone out. I would fall into the emotions, you know, and to comfort myself, I would eat, eat, eat.
Okay.
And watch TV and scroll videos. I mean, you know, the more I got into it, the more mind-numbing stuff I needed to do. I couldn't just eat. I had to eat and watch TV. I had to eat, watch TV and play on, you know, scroll through social video. I had to add things to it to keep me disconnected, zoned out. And
so
I just wouldn't,
so that what would happen? If you weren't zoned out, what would happen?
I'd be lonely.
So you would feel lonely. And then why is that so bad?
It's not, because I don't mind being alone.
Well, something about it, like, so you might not feel lonely. If you don't mind being alone, then why would you need to escape loneliness in the evening? So what is it that, like, what do you think it's doing for you?
I mean, I think I know what it was doing for me when I started. And now I just think it's gone on so long that it's a habit, you know, it's a, okay.
Okay. So that's good to know. So if tonight, if I said, hey, we're just going to try not eating at all, and it's going to go against everything you've been doing.
Right.
And like all of your automatic behaviors, they're going to come up, because I want you to think about, I use this example a lot. If, are you right-handed or left-handed?
Right-handed.
All right. You're like me. If I smashed your right hand, like just took a, like, let's say Corinne was a real asshole and came over there and was like, I got to break your hand to prove my point. Break your hand. Now you're in a cast. You can't use your right hand. Starting the, like when you are leaving the hospital to sign papers, what's going to happen?
I'm going to use my left hand.
Only when you have reflexed and reached with the right.
For sure.
And you're going to get mad. Like, fuck. Like, I suck at this. Like, I can't hardly write. How long am I going to have to be in this cast? This is going to be terrible. I'm not going to be able to sign it. How am I going to wipe my ass? Like, all
yeah,
of a sudden.
Yeah, for sure. Like,
our brain will freak out.
For
the
sure.
The same thing will happen tonight. So this is for all of you. And this is such a, this is actually really good you brought this up, because this is a very unique topic that we don't get to very often when it comes to nighttime eating. You did spend years eating, and if it was, it probably was when it was like the pattern you developed, loneliness was probably intolerable then.
It was.
Loneliness wasn't just, you know, I don't mind going shopping by myself. I don't mind hanging out by myself. But when you're by yourself because the person you loved is gone, and now you're responsible for another human by yourself, that's not loneliness.
Yeah.
That's like freak out and grief. And, you know, like I can tell, like it must have hit on something.
For sure.
So we develop a coping mechanism. Mm-hmm. Now, after a while, we, you know, it's been 22 years. Is your kid still living with you or gone?
No.
Yeah. So he's not even here. You don't have to be somebody else all day long. You don't have
I'm retired. I don't even have to work.
Yeah. So all of that's over, but the habit is still there.
Exactly.
And we have to teach it two things. Number one, we have to really talk to ourselves about, I don't need this habit anymore, and here's why. And like, I think that you really recognize that. Like, I don't even think we have to coach on it. You come across as someone who is just like, I know I don't need this habit anymore. Like, I don't even fear loneliness anymore. Like I'm retired, for God's sake.
Life is good.
Yes, life is good. So that's the first part, which for all of you, when you have an extinguished habit, it's really important that we continue to tell ourselves when we're not in the moment, hey, I'm going to work on this habit. We have to start calling it a habit. We have to start saying it's not needed anymore for these reasons. We plan during the day for like, all right, tonight I'm not going to eat. Like, this is not happening tonight. And it's for all these great reasons. And I'm going to unlearn the habit. Now, the moment of impact comes for, it's going to take probably, 3 or 4 days. I would say your brain will scream and holler pretty good. It's going to make you want to kind of crawl out of your skin. So you might end up eating and it have nothing to do with loneliness and shit. Now it's, God, I hate the way I feel when I'm trying to break a habit.
Yeah.
Because it's just like, if you were to get mad, just think about how angry we would get when like 3 days after we break our hand, we're still trying to reach for things with our right hand. And we're just frustrated that we can't do it the way we've always done it. So your brain is going to be frustrated that it can't eat the way it always has. It's not going to be like, well, I'm enlightened. You've been telling me all day long that this is blah, 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 blah. That is to give it a reason to hold tight. So this is why we always say we can't rely on willpower, because you can't like just willpower your way through weight loss. But in certain instances, we have to like tap into some willpower at the beginning of a habit change. So tonight it's going to scream. It's going to want you to eat. First, it's probably just going to be real sexy. Like, there you go. It's Sunday. Why are we even trying this on a Sunday? That's a dumb day to start. Mondays are always better. And then it's going to go into, yeah, but you didn't eat the first part of the day. Like, it's going to just scroll through all of its little excuses.
Absolutely.
So then we just have to have like, all you got to do is you got to have a counter for every excuse. So you like, what I would do today is I would write down like, here's probably all the things that I can bet on that my brain's going to say. And if it like, this is where we use those if then statements that we learned during handling the holidays.
Yeah.
If my brain says, well, you didn't eat all day, then I'll tell it, that's okay. I don't need extra food because I didn't eat all day. I just need what I needed for now. And so you just kind of go through and you anticipate as many of the things that your unique brain is likely to say. And then we just like for 3 or 4 days, we have to hold the line, to not eat, and be willing, like to tell yourself, I am so willing to feel uncomfortable. I'm so willing to use my if-then statements. I'm really willing to breathe through this. You know, if you need to distract yourself a little bit, say like, you know, if my brain is really acting the donk, I will watch TV in a different room, or I will call someone and talk, like whatever, you know, you need to do. So we can start with that. The other piece that I think will help is if you are, do you know why you don't eat till 2? Like you legit just don't feel hungry, or are you busy?
Yeah, I think two reasons.
Okay.
I think when I was working, mornings were a very busy time when I got to work, and I wasn't great at waking up early. And so that's how I started the no breakfast. Then the intermittent fasting thing came up and I was like, oh, you know, I'm doing a good thing. And it got pushed out even past noon. Okay. You know, so, and even though I am done dieting forever, I mean, I'm 68 years old, I'm done. I just want a relationship with food and to weigh less, you know, not skinny, just weigh less.
I don't have big dreams and aspirations.
I don't. Little steps.
But I feel you, sister. I think we're all in that boat. Thing,
I think still gives me a little bit of a high, even though I don't want to. When I look up and it's 2 or 3, I'm like, oh, that's great. I
haven't had this. Is one of the things we can work on. Like, what is Why are you giving moral superiority to denying your body nutrients?
Yeah.
Why
I
do you
don't know.
think?
I do know because I dieted forever, and it was not just a physical thing, it was a social thing too. You know, I mean, you would talk to everybody at work about, well, what's the diet? What are you doing? And you know, and so it's just one of those vestiges that I've let linger in the back of my mind as a connection. And I don't have a lot of connections since I retired. I'm not a real people person. And I was friendly with people at work and social, but I like, you know, I see my, I have two sisters and I hang out with them, but I wasn't a, hey, drop by my house kind of girl ever. And so I am missing those work time connections or those diet connections. And I think when I start to go to that place of the superior, it's not superiority, it's connected. Oh, I'm connected. And I'm connected now in the no BS community. So I have some place to take that connection.
So that's what I would just remind myself. Like, whenever you want to deprogram, all of you want to deprogram your brain
Yeah,
from
I do.
what I consider one of the most dangerous. I'm just going to be real honest. Short of you being cancerous, there's very little research that actually says that fasting is good for women, period. Like, I'm not going to say that there's not some research around fasting in certain situations and stuff, but it's the research that I have found has shown that fasting is more dangerous for women for two main reasons. Number one, because of all of our programming around dieting and stuff, it places starving our body on a pedestal as if
It
that's a
does.
good thing. Like, I'm doing something good because in my search for thinness to be culturally acceptable, I'm going to deny my body food it needs. And then we end up getting into in eating disorder land. And that's the second big piece of it, is that they have found that women, there's a high correlation between fasting women and disordered and eating disorders now.
And that's me.
So
That's
I
me.
just.
It has created very disordered eating.
Then here's what I would do if I was you. Whenever you find yourself pushing hunger, I want you to call it what it is. So your brain is going to want to say, look at me doing something good. I want you to say, no, we're really not. Here's what I know has happened. Me pushing hunger is denying me what I really want, which is a normal relationship with food.
I
In
know.
fact, I think it's actually creating disordered eating. And we have to. This is where we can use a pain point as a motivator. So this is where we can just like call out the truth. Like, it sounds good to say, like, well, here I am. I'm just, pushing that hunger, doing the blah, blah, blah. I'm fasting. This is great. That sounds lovely. But when we say, here's what actually is happening. I'm setting myself to get f up for further disordered eating patterns. I'm also possibly triggering that nighttime eating habit that I really don't want. So,
But I've never lost a pound doing it, by the way.
and I've
Never.
never lost a pound doing it. There's another, like, I would just keep throwing all of that right into the face of anything that says me being overly hungry, me missing meals, me doing shenanigans basically is somehow in service to losing weight. It's just not. I
It's
don't
not.
have any evidence in my life that that
None.
is like working. Now, for all of you, I want to say we're going to be doing a lot more talking about nutrition and different things next year. The new No BS is getting ready to come out. We're going to introduce some stuff on healthifying, all this other junk. I know that y'all need information on this. So what I want to tell you today is I would go back to eating in the morning. And it doesn't have to be like a country boy breakfast from Cracker Barrel. It just needs to be something to get you started and to get you used to eating. I've had to go back to eating breakfast, and I've had to go back to eating breakfast almost within the first hour of waking. If I wait for hunger, I can get busy. I can get to doing things. I can just not feel my hunger. I'm not even trying to purposely push it, but I can get so caught up that what happens for me is I wait too long and I'm not even one to overeat, but after a few days, I'm exhausted, I'm cranky. I'm just not really one to overeat anymore, but I suffer in other areas. And I started kind of watching things and noticing, like, I just don't want to suffer. And so I've gone back to, for me, and this, all of you need to play with it. Some people eat first thing in the mornings and they're only doing it because they're afraid of waiting for hunger. For those of you, that's not the same thing. I want you to wait to see when your body is naturally hungry. But for some of us, we need to kind of kickstart things off. And I will just tell all of you, planning a healthy breakfast first thing in the morning, whether you are hungry or not, is nobody's problem in this membership. There's not a single one of you that signed up because you were like, you know how I gained all that weight, Corinne? I planned a healthy breakfast to kickstart my day every day. That was some bullshit. I should have never started that. This is not why we are all here. So if we work on some of these things to kind of stabilize ourselves while we also are attacking the emotional eating on the other side, it's a lot easier to lose weight. So I think you just need to add some breakfast in. Whatever you want to add, start small. I do peanut butter toast and I do a little smoothie every morning. It's around 400 calories total.
That sounds great. That I definitely will do that because I do plan breakfast every day when I plan my meals, but I plan it and in the back of my mind I'm like, but I'm not going to eat it until tonight. It's like, well, why? And why I'm feeding the wrong wolf.
Right. And that's just something I think, let's just try that.
I
Because
will.
one thing that will be hard is if you truly are just eating all your meals at night, and now we're going to just
That
eat until enough,
I mean, one
then.
out of 7 days, I eat all my meals at night. The other six, I just eat.
Okay. All right. So I just want you to try. Let's just start with a breakfast. Now, this is the next thing a lot of you are going to say. Is, well, if I start eating breakfast, then I'm hungry all day. That is not a bad thing. That's called your body coming back online. And as long as you are planning good, nutritious food for yourself and you're stopping at enough, it's like if you're hungry all day and you just keep grabbing Snickers and stuff, y'all, that's not like, let's just call a spade a spade.
It's the truth.
Yeah. If we are hungry all day, try plant like I don't care if you have like a little individual Snicker at the end of a lunch or something like that, but don't sit and tell me that you need to now fast all day because otherwise, if you eat a nutritious breakfast, well then I get ding dongs at 10 o'clock and at 12 I have nowhere with I'm real hungry, so I just go out for Mexican with the friends at work and then I'm like ho-hoing it up around 3. That is not the same.
No.
All of us know the difference between kind of getting our body what it needs and then just using the excuse of I'm getting hungry. That's why, like, if you're going to restart things and you think you're going to, like, for a lot of you who need to kind of restart the hunger during the day, whether that's coming from I've just gotten so good at pushing it off that my body is like, well, fuck, I won't ask no more because you are sitting here glorifying being hungry. So we'll wait till 2. Or if it's like a legit, your hunger cues and stuff are online, start eating, but plan food. Plan food you like, but don't just plan a bunch of junk. Like, seriously, I don't have any problem. Like, I eat a little thingy of Milk Duds almost every night after dinner now. We like still going through Halloween candy. I don't have a problem with that. But if you're saying I'm going to eat whatever I want for dinner and you're eating like a tub of Milk Duds, don't come crying to me that you're not losing weight. We have to balance some common sense with all of this. Okay. So I think like we're going to break the habit. We're going to talk to ourselves that we don't need the habit anymore. And then we're going to start eating a breakfast just to kind of help so that you're not truly, like not eating enough at night. Because if you go into the evening truly underfueled because you're used to getting more of your calories in that time, your brain is going to kick up a hellfire storm even harder because it's serving two masters. One is the master of the habit. The second is going to be like, but you don't eat enough during the day. Like, I need you to eat, like, you know, so.
Yeah, okay. That's great. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Really, well, thank you for getting
and
coached.
Can I just say to everybody who's afraid to raise their hand, I was afraid to raise my hand. I didn't think I could articulate it. Just say, so what? And you help so me articulate it and be honest so much. And now I have a one-on-one personal training session I can pull up every day and look at after it's reposted.
That's so, a good way to look at it, like a one-on-one
raise your
training
hand.
Session.
Just do it. What the heck? Thank
there
you so
go.
much.
Thank you, Wendy.
Bye-bye.
She articulated it all very well. I don't know what she was afraid of. Mary? Mary Maston. If there was anything that I just explained in Wendy's coaching that anyone's confused, Mary, you can go ahead and get your camera and everything going. Just ask in the QA. Lizzie's over there, so she can help out with that. I'm here too, so we can answer some questions for you. All right, Mary.
Hi, how are you?
Hey, good. How are you?
Good. Well, I've been in the program just for a little while now, so I'm still feeling like I'm trying to, you know, get on track with everything.
Okay.
But I really enjoy all the content, and I just find it really helpful just to listen to, you know, the other ladies, and I've had a few calls with Coach Christy, and so I'm really looking forward to progressing with the program because I've been trying to lose weight for a long time now, and I just think that it's just a, you know, a common sense approach. I've been really working on the doable hunger because I think, like you've said before, we're just not used to really listening to our body. And and I definitely was somebody that was used to basically eating on a schedule, you know, it's, and so I'm really trying to get away from that. You know, I'll take my lunch at work and but I don't necessarily eat it right at noon. Maybe I'm not hungry until 1:30 or 2 o'clock. But I am a breakfast eater, so I'm happy with what you just said because I do like to, I actually eat quite a few eggs, you know, during the week, but I do like to have a little something just because by the time I get to work, there's really no time to stop for a break. And so I'm just looking for different options, for those, you know, breakfast items as well. And in the chat, I also take, thyroid medicine and I had no idea that you weren't supposed to drink coffee within an hour of taking it. So something else I've learned today.
Okay. Okay. So what do you need? What is the one thing you need the most help with?
The one thing I'm, really looking forward to is just, I'm trying to get in the habit of doing the daily plan.
Okay.
And
go ahead, finish up.
It and just because there's so much information on there. So I'm not sure if there's something I should focus on in particular while I get started and then build out from there.
When you say there's so much information on there, what part is tripping you up?
I guess the, you know, how you're feeling and I mean, that's something I need to work on just to get into the emotional part of it.
Like what part of the how you're feeling?
Just in general. And, you know, like I've never been one to journal. So to write down, you know, like feelings and that kind of thing is something that it's really not something that I have a lot of experience doing.
Okay. So what do you think could make it easier for you? Well, let me ask you this. Are you at least planning your food?
Most days, yes.
Okay.
most
So
days
let me
anyway.
just say this, if for any of you, if for some reason you like are not like, let's say you're not comfortable with the feelings work or you don't understand it yet or whatever's going on there, do the food planning part only.
Okay.
That's still a form of journaling. Journaling is about thinking. It's about taking like what's in your head and just putting it on paper. So you can kind of see. So even if we are like there's all kinds of journaling. One is just making a plan. Just like I this morning got up, I planned my entire work week. I wrote down the first thing I did was write down all my projects I have to work on, all the things I have to do, all the meetings I have to be in. Then I went to my calendar and I typed in every hour so that I know like, okay, all of this fits. That's a form of journaling.
Okay.
Because it takes what's in my head and puts it someplace that my brain doesn't have to think about it. Our brains are not storage units. Our brains are actually processors. Our brains are meant to process information, but they are terrible at holding information. And so if you're trying to like remember what to eat or make the decisions on the fly, that kind of thing, your brain is like all day long using extra energy, trying to remember, like, okay, let's remember we're going to eat this. Okay, we don't really know what we're going to eat. So, in the background, it's just like running. It's kind of like your computer. You ever had like your phone or your computer, all of a sudden it's just really slow and you have to restart it? It's because you probably almost always, it's because we got too many apps running. Like we've opened so many tabs and we've got so much stuff running in the background, we don't even see it, but our phone feels it. Our computer feels like I can't do anything. I'm going to freeze. Our brains are the same way. If we are opening tabs all day long, like, well, I'm not going to plan my food. I'm just going to make good decisions. I'm just going to go by the seat of my pants. Then our brain all day long is sitting there going like, I don't know what I'm supposed to eat. I don't know what I'm supposed to eat. I hope I can figure it out. Like it's got like all these little open tabs that it runs. And then we're like tired as fuck. And so when it's time to eat, guess what we do? We eat what's easy. We don't eat what's best for us. Good intentions get thrown out the window because our brains now are depleted of its memory. So the reason why I say all this is because what I notice is that some of you are like shy, hesitant, do not want to journal and things like that. Because just because the planner and that's tied together, it's like, well, then let's get consistent with the most important part for the weight loss, which right now is pre-deciding what you're going to eat so that you do not have to eat based on your mood of the moment. Because what happens when we are relying on our mood of the moment to make the decision?
We make bad decisions.
Almost always. Because especially like later in the day, because like if you're like most humans, half the time you're pissed, tired, stressed, nonchalant. Like I just rarely give a fuck about my goals after 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I mean, I wake up in the morning and I'm like, I want to be healthy and live forever. And, I want to be able to lift heavy things. And, I want to conquer the world. 3 o'clock, I am just like, screw this. I don't want to work out. That's going to be hard. I'm tired. I've had a long day. So, what I don't want to do is not have a plan, because at least if I have a plan, I have a moment of pause. It's called the golden moment. I at least say a part of me wanted this. Somewhere there's a version of me who was really thinking about what's best for us. If I'm not wanting to do that, that's probably because the person who doesn't give a fuck about what's best for us, who only cares about what they want in the moment, that person's trying to take over. Now I just have a decision. Do I want that version to win, or do I want the other version who thought about all of my needs? Do I want her to win? So let's at least get to the food planning and be consistent with that and really focus on that.
All
So,
right.
but why do you like what? Why do you think you're, well, what are you feeling right now?
Just Just a little frustrated with myself because, here I am still trying to lose weight after all these years. But also hopeful that now I have, more of a plan and all these resources to help me.
Okay. So I'm going to tell you, just journaled.
Okay.
That was more than enough.
Oh,
You know
okay.
what I got out of that? All right. And this is just me being a coach. Number one, you know you're frustrated, and you're frustrated because you keep thinking, I've been trying to lose weight all these years, so I must be upset at myself. I must have probably, I'm like, I wonder why I would be frustrated that I've been trying. Why do you think you're frustrated that you've been trying all these years? Instead of like, girl, you are determined. You've not given up. I mean, one side can be, you know, that's the power of the journaling, is to like look at where are we just dying by a thousand tiny, sucky little cuts every day. You know, like thinking back on our diet history and using it as a weapon to feel bad about ourselves is not useful. And it's not even the truth. It's
Instead of
like
trying to
you
be
have
positive.
tried all these years and you've not given up. And I'll give you one more thought that if it doesn't work, here's the one I want you to think about. Or I want to ask you this: how many diets in the past really asked you to start working on your emotional eating and gave you the avenue to work on your emotional eating, the resources to work on the emotional side of things? How many diets did you do that did that?
None before
Zero.
this,
Okay. I will tell all of you, no diet works unless the emotional component is also included. And there's one other key component that we teach that most diets don't teach, and that is the science of habit change. Most diets, what they want to do is they say, like, oh my gosh, guess what we're doing, Mary? We are going keto. We're gonna fast, and we're gonna go grab Wendy, me, you, and Wendy. We are gonna be keto and we are gonna fast, and this is gonna be the best thing that we've ever done. And guess when we start? Tomorrow. So burn the boats. Everything that you've been eating and the way you've been, we're going to start tomorrow and we're going to lose all of our weight. That's the promise of most diets. And what they do is they break sound habit change science. Habit change science says that it is damn near impossible for any human to be able to change behavior on a dime. You better have extenuating circumstances. So about the only time you see anybody successfully be able to like lose weight or change their health or quit smoking or something, they almost always get a life-threatening diagnosis. It's called mortality motivation. We don't want to wait for that. So what we want to do is use basic science, which is like what we teach, which is we're going to start with some small things. We're going to kind of sneak up on your brain. We're going to make little changes so that it bitches a little. But it's not really hard to overcome the bitching. And then we're going to kind of keep stacking little habits all along the way. And then you end up like suddenly you're just losing weight without your brain flipping out. But what most diets do is they don't do that part. They do 180s with your habits. Our brains really fight against that. It's why most of us flame out within 3 to 6 weeks of starting something. Because if you change too much of your behavior at one time, you're asking your brain, I need you to fight harder for the way we've been doing it. That's why we have to tackle little changes. And then the other side is the emotional. So knowing that you've probably never done a diet that wanted to address the habit science combined with the emotional science, it's no wonder those diets didn't work for you. So instead of saying, I'm frustrated at me because I've never been able to lose the weight, if you want to be frustrated, let's put it in the right place. I'm frustrated that the diet industry never gave me what I needed to lose weight. And now I'm hopeful because if I try the things that are in this program that's more comprehensive and holistic, I probably can do this.
Right. Yes. Excuse me.
So out of your two sentences, we got all that. And that's the power of journaling.
Yeah, it's amazing.
So if you don't want to do it in your planner, one of the other ways that you can do it. So let me just tell you a little bit more about journaling and then I will let you go. You can always plan goals. You don't have to get deep into your feelings just yet. You can just say, you can start with the good stuff. Like today, I'm grateful for these things. That's a form. Gratitude is a form of journaling.
Okay.
Planning for goals, like thinking like, you know, this week I have a goal of, you know, making my 24-hour plan each day. Here's what might get in my way. Here's what I can tell myself. That's also journaling. You can like just do a quick every day, just like, how do I just, what was the predominant feeling I had today? And if it was frustration, you just write that down and just be like, today the predominant feeling was frustration. Even if you don't want to look into why, you can at least start with noticing, like, just, I wonder how I feel most days. And usually sometimes when you present yourself with, rather than, I don't want to get into my feelings with, I just want to be curious, what is the predominant feeling I have each day? If you notice a pattern, then you can go to ask coaches and say, I notice that most days I'm frustrated, but I just don't know why. Let them ask you questions and they'll ask you questions. And when you are talking to a coach, that's also journaling.
Okay.
So it is not limited to what you put in the planner.
Okay. Well, thank you for breaking that down. I really appreciate that.
The reason why I do that is because I have just like literally changed my life because of journaling. Like I've got a tub. I'm going to have to get it out. I still have my very first diary. Like Dear Diary is a form of journaling. Most little girls at some point in their life, you know, they have a diary. That's just the first parts of journaling. It's where you feel like you have a place that you can share your own thoughts. And so I've got my very first one from when I was 9. I still remember I bought it at a Hallmark store. I thought I was just so tickled to have it. And I've got lots of journals that I've kept over the years. I don't keep all of them, but I have quite a few. The ones that I find that are important, I've kept. One of these days I'll get it out and maybe I'll snap some pictures and post it in the Facebook group so y'all can see some of Corinne's early day stuff. But the reason why I love journaling is because I really think it's been the way that I've always felt like I have somebody I can talk to. Me. You know, and I can be honest with me. And even if I'm being an ass to myself, I can just say like, asshole side, take a seat. I just want to talk to the other part of me right now. There's just so much that comes out of it. And that's why I'm such a big advocate of it.
Yeah. Great.
Okay. All right.
Thank you.
Bye. Jessica. Does Corinne review or revisit her journals? I do on some. So I have a lot of different types. So I have like I have a lot of ideas journals where I keep a lot of ideas for y'all. That's another form of expressive writing. I have ideas for my life. I do review them. Like I took a look back at, I've got one, now I use my iPad and I have a GoodNotes thing. It's actually a lot easier for me to access journals now because I just keep everything digitally. And so I don't have to delete them or anything. And I've got one just called journaling. I never started over. I just keep a date at the top of each page and I just keep going. And in GoodNotes, you can actually, like if I have like a significant day, I can add it to the outline and things like that. So I do go back and read sometimes. My friend Jane, she's got a really unique journal that she uses. It's a 5-year journal where you just write a sentence or two about your day. So every page has like year 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, and you write. for each day of the year, you write a sentence or two about what was happening or whatever. And she's like, I think she's on her third one. She's been doing this for a long time, and she brings it everywhere we go. She's got it. And it's always amazing because she can go back and look at what she's been like quickly, what she was doing in the past few years. And she loves it. And I've actually thought about starting one of those myself because I think I'd be fascinated by it. And I write all of mine, Christy. Do I type them or handwrite them? I do it digitally, but I have an iPad and I use the iPad, I don't know if it's called the iPen, whatever the pen is. It's the Apple iPad, but I write. So I'm a writer. I do not like typing things. Like I have to do enough sitting on my laptop all day long typing as it is to write scripts and courses and shit. Last thing I want to be doing is typing my own damn thoughts. All right, Jessica.
Hi. So when I raised my hand, I was like, huh, it's going to be interesting what comes out of this. And then Lizzie was coaching me in the chat and in the Q&A, and I was like already crying. So I'm like, oh, okay, something is going to come out of this. So I apologize if I jumped ahead of people with hands raised.
No, I just like grab. It's oh, like okay. The way that I do. Oh. Yeah.
Okay, great. So the short version of the story, because a lot of people have already seen the long version of the story in the chat. I am actively in my grandma's nursing home. She is getting hospice care and she's dying from old age. She has been ready to die for a long time. She's got great hospice care. I am 100% fine with her dying. I love her very, very much, but I understand that this is just how it's supposed to go. The problem is that so I'm her only living relative by blood. My mom, her daughter, died 25 years ago. My dad kept her connected to his side of the family after mom died. Well, he died like 2 years ago now. And so naturally those family relationships, they just started being less frequent. My dad's brother and sister have been great about visiting her in the nursing home when I haven't been able to be here. I live in Nashville, but they're all up in Ohio. The sticky wicket is that when I was up here for my dad's death a couple years ago, I put all the unhelpful coping behaviors in place. I gained 20 pounds, but it was just, I'm an only child. I'm a physician. I feel the need to do all the things and control all the things. So I just let weight loss go, gained 20 pounds. So now I'm back up here again. And it's a very different situation because I really am fine with how my grandma is. I was not fine with how my dad died. And my lovely family just wants to give me all of those coping mechanisms again. Like they make, they're like, let's go to your favorite restaurant. Let's have your favorite food. I'm going to have your favorite wine. And
well, that's every nice single of them.
Isn't it lovely?
No, it actually is.
It really is.
I mean, what do you want them to do? Like flip you a bird, say, deal with it?
I know. Well, and that's, and Lizzie asked a really great question, I think, in the Q&A part. She was like, okay, what would you regret about this time? And I was like, because I really just want them to leave me alone because I really am fine. And I feel badly about them taking so much time and energy to take care of me. What I would regret is resenting them for being so lovely.
Let me ask you this. Do you really want them to leave you alone, or do you want them to be there for you in the way you want them to be there?
I don't know the answer to that. But what made me cry when I was going back and forth with Lizzie is, well, it's not weakness of anybody if anybody else needs help or taken care of in times like this. But for me, it's a weakness if I need taken care of times like this. And I understand.
But you don't need taken care of. They're just offering because they love you. I don't understand why we have a problem. You know you're not weak.
I know, but them going out of their way to try to take care of me makes me think they think I'm weak. And then that's where the tears are coming from.
All right, let's think about
it. I understand
this.
It's completely irrational. I totally get it.
That's good. I'm glad that you know that it's irrational. Your brain's having an irrational. Your brain is creating a story to feed your fear that you're weak. It's like, oh my gosh, You're so afraid that people are going to view you as weak that when somebody just wants to make themselves feel better by offering things that you're like, see, now they think must think I'm weak.
Oh,
Which
yeah, 100%.
yeah. So we just have to remind ourselves that's not what's really happening. When my family wants to offer help, it's probably helping them cope with what's going on.
Like maybe it kind of has nothing to do with me.
Well, let's just examine that. Tell me
Okay.
one person in your family that keeps trying to take care of you.
Oh my God, my Uncle Rodney, my dad's
Okay,
twin.
Uncle Rodney.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this. Which one sounds more true? If I'm going to be the thought bubble, I'm going to voice what two potential scenarios going on in Uncle Rodney's voice or in his head. Scenario number one, Jessica is a weak fucking bitch. I'm going to have to offer some help. I don't know what's wrong with her. She is absolutely black sheep of the family.
No.
Option number two, I hate that this is going on. I'd love to just make things easier for Jessica. I'm so glad she's here. So Uncle Rodney is not sitting around going, she's weak. Uncle Rodney is probably doing this selfishly. Now, selfishness all like can come from good places too.
Yeah,
Selfishly, Uncle Rodney is like, I feel out of control in this situation. Someone's
100%.
dying. So the way that I take control is by offering help. That makes me feel like I can control something. So now I feel better. I feel like a good person. And the way I know how to do this is by offering Jessica help. Nowhere in there is he like, fucking weak ass bitch. I don't know why she's in our family.
No, you're right. That's also overwhelming, though. Like, I feel like I'm an inconvenience to them.
You know what would be an inconvenience? If you went to all of them and said, and clutched your pearls and said, I can't handle this. I need you to do XYZ or I'm not happy. An inconvenience would be telling everybody how they're supposed to act around you because you are a delicate flower, because you got to control them instead of controlling your narrative about you. That would be an inconvenience. That would make everybody's life really hard.
Yeah. Well, and I also know it's not practical. I cannot control those people. I've tried. It doesn't work.
Right. I know. They
Yeah.
can't control you either. You know what they want you to feel? Loved. And you're feeling attacked.
How dare they?
Right. Like if everybody just like settled down for a second, you would just like if we all just looked at this like it wasn't like a big fucking deal. Like grandma's dying.
Yep.
That's the big deal in the room. And if it was just like we were just gonna do this in a very just much more easier emotionally way. We would just appreciate that our family wants to do things. And we would kindly say, I appreciate y'all want to help. I don't need it, but I love that you want to.
Yeah.
And then they would make offers and say, like, well, are you sure? Because I love you. And I'm just upset that grandma's dying. Now, that's one way we can do it. Everybody just loves each other for being good, kind humans. Or we can say, I must be weak and I'm an inconvenience and I think that they're thinking terrible things about me. And that's the only reason that must be their motive behind doing this. We can also do it that way. And it like feels like, looks like it feels like ass.
Yeah. It's not working.
No, it's not. It's
No.
like it could be also a really good opportunity for you to break the story that you're weak when you need help.
Well, let's not go crazy. I've been trying to get rid of that story for ever. So it's interesting that I haven't gotten rid of it yet. But yeah, when I tell my brain it is irrational that it doesn't mean that everybody else is weak if they get taken care of or if they need help, but you're special, it means that you're weak. Like, I know that is completely irrational, but the way that I answer it is, yep, it's irrational, but it's gotten me this far, so I have no motivation to change it.
I think you do have motivation to change it. You're crying. It's obviously not working. It's
Yeah.
also going to destroy relationships. I
Yeah.
mean, if you think about it, you've got a very loving family, and the only thing you think about them is that they must have some secret ulterior motive to judge you,
Yeah, that's not a good look.
which makes you set possibly going to resent them.
Yeah.
Like, we need to tell our brain the truth when it says it's gotten me this far. And it's like, yeah, it's gotten me to the point to where I jump to the wrong conclusions about my family. It makes me sit, instead of like spending my last days with my grandmother, I'm sitting here worried about resentment for some
Yeah.
bullshit that I'm creating myself.
Yeah, fair point. Very
So,
fair
like,
point.
this is where we want to always, like, with our brain, it's like, you've done a good job of, like, really, like, understanding this is just not true. This is a mental construct that I have built for myself. And then your brain is like, well, I know how to get in the back door. I mean, she shut down the front door, but the back door says, but it's gotten you this far. And this is where we're
Yeah.
like, nope, we're going to deadbolt the back door too. It's not really gotten me very far. It's actually gotten me to the point, like, it may have served a purpose at some point in my life, but nowadays kind of feels like ass.
Yeah.
Making me miserable.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. I'm going to work on that in the next day or so. Okay.
Tell me why strong people ask for help. The most resilient people in the world.
Because they're smart enough to know when they don't know something and need like a second set of eyes or somebody else to help them brainstorm.
Put me in your shoes.
Okay.
Do you think I'm pretty strong?
Oh, yeah.
I would hope the fuck y'all think that. When I need help, and I'm not just talking business help, when I need emotional support, I need someone to be there for me because I am at my wit's end. Like, I have tried to solve it myself. I have tried to do the things and I can't do it myself. And I decide to either accept help or to ask for help, even if I think I'm going to be an inconvenience, which happens weekly, like especially with my husband. There's always like a lot going on in Corinne's life. I mean, we run three businesses. I always forget about the third business. I always forget about that restaurant we own. We run three businesses. We just like there's just a lot, like a lot. And when you're juggling all that kind of stuff, like for me, there's always a moment or two each week where something happens that rocks my world, where I get very triggered or very activated that like something so bad has happened that I fear there's irreparable damage, or my brain goes to what I call hypothetical hell. You know, now that this has happened, I bet this, what if this. I mean, it just kind of spirals. And I always have to go get my husband. He's about the only person that can ground me. Now, my husband is not an emotions-based guy. That is a very gentle, kind way to say it. I know I am bothering him. I know that taking care of me is probably, he's so willing to do it, but he's very uninterested in it. Okay, so like I have facts behind him. He's told me these things, but I still go do it. Why do you think I do that without thinking I'm weak?
To like let them know what's going on in your life and to stay connected so he knows everything that's going on with you.
No, I'm going to
Oh,
go bother him.
yeah.
I'm literally going to bother him. I'm going to stop him from his important things and require him to prioritize me above everything he thinks is important because I can't solve something for myself. I'm crying. I'm upset. I'm paranoid. I'm anxious. I'm all the things. And I'm like busting in his office like the Kool-Aid man with my hysteria, which literally, y'all, I'm not joking. This happens once or twice a week. I know, like, I wish that I had the guts to film myself when I'm like that, but I don't know if I'm that brave just yet. But what do you think's going through my head to where I don't feel shame or bad or like I'm not making this mean I'm weak?
Like a mantra about how strong people can ask for help too, or sometimes strong people just need a sounding board or help brainstorming. I think the reason I'm stuck was because I also have a lovely, lovely husband who I left in Nashville when it was time to get in the car and drive up here to Ohio. He was like, I have something that I can't miss, but it's over at 3 o'clock. Let me know. And as soon as I'm done, we will jump in the car and I will go up with you. I literally left Nashville at 1 o'clock without him. And he and I were laughing about this on the phone the other day. He was like, you literally left without me. Like, and so it's like, I am so hanging on to this idea that I'm fine and I can do all the things. That I left Nashville 2 hours earlier than my husband would be able to come with me.
Well, are you fine and can do all the things in this situation?
Maybe my aunts and uncles who are up here wouldn't feel the need to help me so much if I wouldn't have left him. Maybe they're worried about me because I left him down there because I didn't want to inconvenience him. It's like, no, I'm just sitting at her bedside. It's not comfortable. It's not fun. There's no talking to be done. So just stay down here.
Right. That's why I'm
You can
asking,
come
are
up.
you actually fine? Like, I don't want you making your past choices wrong when they're not wrong. I probably would have done the same thing. I wouldn't have taken my husband with me either. In
I mean, I'm
fact, if
obviously
something was happening to my mother, the last person I'd probably bring is my husband because he would probably actually just get in my way. Just gonna be real honest.
you know, one of the reasons I'm really worried about having my husband up here is that we have very different politics than my family up here. And through my grandma's kind of now month of dying process, I have been telling myself I cannot engage my family with politics because I just need everything else in the family to be copacetic while I'm dealing with grandma. And one of the reasons I didn't want to bring him up is because I didn't trust him to not argue about the election. And I was
So that
like,
was
I
a
don't.
great choice.
It was a really good choice. I mean, to
Yes.
answer your question, obviously I'm not fine because I'm sitting in a nursing home on a call with you crying. So obviously things are not
Or
fine.
you are fine and you just needed to cry and it's not
Oh, yeah.
weak. It's just called normal fucking shit when somebody's dying.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, there's always that piece. Just
Yeah.
because, like, you're like, just because someone's old and lived a good life and all this other stuff doesn't absolve us from missing them not loving the fact that we're going to watch them die. I watched both my grandparents die. I was very close to them. I lived with them almost more than I did with my own mother growing up. They were like parents. They wanted to adopt me when my mother was 17 when she got pregnant. My grandmother really wanted to adopt me. She just did not like think my mother could handle it. My mom did, but they were very hands-on. And I was there when both of them died. And they had cancer and stuff, and we had said our piece and everything, but that didn't mean that I wasn't incredibly upset too, because I wasn't gonna have them anymore. But let's go back to this weakness thing. Like, I think you're trying to almost prove that this is a problem. And it's like, all we really need to do is show your brain that you are very strong. And there are times when you need help, because all strong people do. And I almost feel like in your brain, it's an either or. It's I'm really strong, or if I need help, I must be weak. And that's what we're going back to my stories. Like, when I go to Chris, it's because I've used all the things that I know for strength. And I go to him in the moments when it's like, I need somebody else to be strong right now. It's not that I'm weak. I've just maxed out all my stuff. I need help. And to me, that's not a sign of weakness. It's like, and if you're like me, it's not like you're going to risk overusing that. Like, sometimes I think we get into this fear loop that, like, well, if I start asking for help, then I'm just going to be needy all the time. Or, like, our brain just go wild with stories. It's like, let's just see. Like, I've never seen a strong, independent person suddenly become needy.
One of my biggest annoyances in the entire world is people who need help with everything. I'm just like the life is 10% what happens to you and 90% how you deal with it. And people whose 90% is completely foobar. I'm like, how? Oh, that just grates on me. And so I just really don't want to be that. I also
I
really
don't,
do.
this is the thing. It's like, this is what I want you to think about. This is very important. When we have a big annoyance or fear like that, like, I just don't want to be that, we have to remind ourselves the likelihood of me ever needing someone to help me all the damn time because I just am like, I can't do it is like negative 10.
Yeah, you're right. No, you're right.
Like, you would never be that person.
No.
Like the person who is, like, my mom is a, like, she can be very needy at times. More needier than me. She can be independent, but if she had her druthers, like she loves it when my brother and I make all the decisions. My mom's gonna be so easy getting older. She is just basically like, I've waited all my life for somebody else to do everything for me. Like, she doesn't, and it freaks her out to make big decisions. So my brother and I typically make all of her major decisions for her. Like, I would never be that way.
No, me neither.
And like, it's like, I even if I tried, I couldn't. So like, a lot of times we just have to tell our brain, like, I know you're afraid of this, but we don't really have to be afraid of this. That just would never be us. And like, even when you said, like, no, like, that would never be me, it's like, so we have to say, like, then there are going to be times, though, that it's okay to need help. And what I don't want to do is push all the help away simply because I think it's a weakness. What I want to do is I want to accept help in the moments when it's not that big a deal.
Okay, that lands. Yeah, the like infinitely needy person. It's like I have a person in mind, and I can just in my body, I'm like, oh God, no, I would never be that person.
Right. So
Like,
you don't even
it's,
have, you can just always tell your brain, I don't have to worry about that. That's never going to be me. It's not in my DNA to do that. But I do know that in my fear of not being that, I am cutting myself off from times when I might need help. And that's not a weakness. I never tell myself that I'm being weak. I always like, if I need, like, if I like literally, if I'm having a really hard time and stuff, I usually just tell Chris, like, hey, I have tried everything I can. I just need you now. And to me, it takes a stronger constitution to be able to ask for help when you are a fiercely independent person. That takes a lot more strength than it's actually kind of taking the pussy way out to just do everything yourself for fear of being weak.
No, it really is all or nothing thinking. It's like when I'm thinking about like having things handled versus being incompetent. It's like the 99 times I have things handled are completely outweighed by the one time I need help.
Yeah.
And that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. We're not going to think ill of our family anymore for offering food as support. We're just going to tell them thank you, but no thank you. I'm doing good. I'll let you know if I need help. And we're going to love them for offering instead of thinking that they're somehow mentally throwing garbage at us.
Yeah. Okay. Fair point.
That will
Fair
keep you
point.
out of regret. Faster
Okay.
than anything, okay?
Okay. All
All right. Thank you,
right. Thank
Jessica.
you. Thanks, Lizzie.
Bye.
Thanks, everybody else.
Bye. Hey, I want to make one comment. There are a lot of you in here who are like you need more help and stuff and whatnot. And this often comes from a lot of trauma in your past life. Like my mom had a lot of trauma and stuff. The main reason why she needs my brother and I so much, and especially, you know, in her 60s and stuff, is she has had such a poor self-opinion of herself and how she's done in life and everything that it has given her a traumatic response, like she's going to make mistakes. If you think about, she grew up with an alcoholic father. There was just a lot going on for my mom. And then she gets pregnant in a very small town at 17 in the 70s. And from that moment on, the story of her life is, I always fuck up. And if that's kind of your story, it would make sense why you would be wanting or like needing other people to reassure you all the time or to make decisions and things like that. That is not to say that strong people who do it, shoulder everything on their back, are better, because we're not. We just suffer in a completely different way. I have always been the strong, independent one because I had a lot of responsibility thrust on me at a very young age to raise my brother. And quite honestly, I felt like I raised my mother along the way. We just have different self-destructive behaviors. So one's not better than the other. And I just wanted to address that because I didn't want anybody to think that when you got two fiercely independent people having such a visceral reaction to appearing weak, and then you might be someone who's like, oh my gosh, I think maybe I'm the person who's always like seeking everybody to help me and I can't make decisions and stuff. I don't want you to feel attacked because that's not the case. We are all dealing with our own shit. And that's really all I wanted to say about that. Okay. Laurie Lewis. Yeah, Susan, I'm the matriarch too. My mom always said that I took over being the matriarch when my grandmother died. Looks like Lori, we must have lost her. All right, let's go with Tammy. It's okay, Lori. 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 I don't know if it's Lori or Lori. I think it's Lori. So I have one friend named Lori, Lori, and I have another friend, Lori, Laurie. And one's Lori, like sorry, and one is Lori, and I don't know what it would rhyme with. Like glory. How about that? All right, Tammy, let's go. What you need help with?
Hi, Corinne. I wanted to get coached today because I've been around a long time, and I just have no follow through. I have lots of good ideas, I think through things, write down things I'm going to do, and then I just don't do them. And this is my first time getting coached, even though I've been a member since 2020. Because I always talk myself out of it and say, well, I heard her say it too. You know, I've heard so many things through all the calls today that I'm like, okay, I don't need to get coached. But what I hear sometimes when I come online with you is that when people talk to you, you're kind of able to see things that they don't see. And so I'm thinking that maybe when I talk to you, you might see something that I'm not seeing that can help me follow through.
Well, let's do this. Let's pick something recent as you can find, of something you were like, ooh, this is a good idea. I want to do this. And you made some plans, right? Is that kind of the process?
Yes.
Okay. So you make the plans and then you don't follow through. Do you have a specific example of something?
Yes. The problem is that I overeat, specifically snacks, but also food, my meals in general, mostly at night. And so I think the halftime method is a really good plan for me. And so I say I'm going to do it and then I don't.
Okay. So when you like, when's the last time you tried to, or you said you were going to do the halftime method?
I say it every day. I write it down every day. So I have all X's for the 23 days of November.
Okay. So let's say have you had lunch yet?
I have not. I haven't eaten today yet. So I'm in Arizona, so it's 10 a.m. here.
Okay. When are you eating your first meal?
I will probably eat like a yogurt parfait when I get off the call today.
Okay. So we're going to eat a yogurt parfait. Okay. And let's say we're going to do the halftime method at the yogurt parfait. Walk me through what that looks like for you.
What it usually looks like for me is for breakfast, I can stop because breakfast.
No, I'm just going to talk about, I'm talking about in the future. We haven't, I'm not what it like, what is like when I say, guess what we're doing, Tammy? We're going to do the halftime method today with your yogurt parfait. Now I want you to tell me like my process will be like, what would the halftime method look like for Tammy?
Oh, I would just serve myself the whole parfait and then look at what half of it looks like and then try to stop when I've eaten half of it.
Okay. And what else?
And then I would try to assess if I feel satisfied enough to stop eating.
Assess if you're at enough.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then I would, if I assess that I would throw the rest of it away.
Okay. Toss if you're done.
And that's it.
And then what if you aren't done?
I would take some more bites.
Like how many?
Probably like three.
Okay. So we'll take three more bites. Then what?
Then if I felt satisfied, I'd stop. But sometimes by then, I probably would be a little over. I'm not sure.
So what's the harm if you were over?
I would feel like I failed at stopping at enough.
But that's not the point of the halftime method.
What's the point of the halftime method? Because I thought the point of it was to try to find enough and stop at enough.
The point of the halftime method is to see where enough is, and that's it. It's not to make you stop. It's to do nothing other than to gain awareness around finding your enough cues. You don't have to honor them. You don't have to do anything. We're just trying to get used to the idea that this might be where enough is.
Okay. I've been using it to try to stop. Well, I've been thinking I could use it to try to stop.
So tell me this. What is your fear about the halftime method?
Well, I before you asked me the question, I wouldn't have said I had a fear around it.
Well, let me say this. If you weren't afraid of it, guess what you'd be doing? You'd just be doing it.
I guess I don't, since being in the program, I think I've come to the conclusion that I don't like this. This is going to sound dumb, but I'll just say it like
Yeah,
it's,
go ahead.
I don't like discipline. Like, and I think it's because I feel like discipline was a bad thing instead of a good thing. So I've tried to rewire my brain to say discipline is a good thing. Discipline is a good thing, and it's not just punishment. You know, I think of discipline as just punishment. And so I think that food has been the one place where I just allow myself to have what I want when I want. And so maybe there's just a general fear of putting boundaries on myself to say, you cannot, you have to stop eating at a certain point. I don't know, but.
Yeah, you don't have to. I mean, obviously you don't. You've been in the program for 4 years and you've proved very well that you don't have to do shit if you don't want to, right? That means anything in the future you try, you don't have to do, like just because we try the halftime method just to see where enough is, we're just giving ourselves the option. It's like, if you want to stop, stop. If you don't, just keep eating it. Because you're already doing that now. Like, there's no harm, no foul if you just know where to stop. At least you know where to stop. If you don't do it at all, then you have, like, you don't even have step one done. Step one is just knowing where enough is. Step two is giving yourself the choice. Step three is deciding which choice you're going to take.
When I say I have to, I mean that I really want to be in control of my weight and in control of food. So that's why I've been so insistent that I am going to reach these goals. So when I say have to, I mean have to reach my goals. But
You don't have to read, but that's such a lie. You don't have to reach your goals.
yeah, in my life, I want to the point that I've made it, I have to.
Right. And that's kept you undisciplined. That's kept you not trying things. Any, like in your body, when you're told you have to do something, you do that, you rebel and do the opposite. So that's just not a strategy that's going to work for you. And like saying, I have to lose weight, it's like, no, the fuck you don't. It's very clear that if you don't want to lose weight, you don't have to do it. Now, this is where we actually have to be really aware of how we talk to ourselves, like at a higher level. It's just like, Tammy, you don't have to do dick. You don't have to stop it enough. You don't have to do the halftime method. If you do the halftime method and you find where enough is, you don't even have to stop there. Don't have to do any of it. You can keep living like you're living. And it might not even be a bad life. If it was that bad, honestly, for all of you, if your life was that bad, guess what y'all would be doing? Figuring this shit out. if we are in a really bad situation, it is human nature to want to get out of it. But right now, the pain of being a disciplined person is outweighing the wanting to lose weight. So I have a good question for you, and I can't wait to hear your answer.
Uh-oh.
I am going to agree with you that discipline sucks. We're just gonna make a new rule between me and Tammy. Everybody put y'all put your earmuffs on. This don't go for y'all. Okay. Discipline sucks. It's overrated. No one needs discipline to get their goals. In fact, most people that end up losing weight aren't disciplined at all. They are really good at figuring out easy shit to do. And they just do that and they don't worry about all this hoorah around being disciplined. So, if you were going to lose your weight in the most undisciplined way ever, how would you do it?
This is going to sound like I'm kissing up. I would do it the yes way.
Okay, but what does that mean to you? Like, if we're going to be undisciplined, well, one of the reasons why I wrote No BS That Way is because Corinne was not disciplined. You know what, Corinne? Corinne was a big old Tammy back in the day. It was like, I wanted to lose weight so bad. God, I wanted to lose. Like, I mean, that very first diary at 9, the first thing I wrote down was how much I weighed and how fat I was, and that Corey Tucker would never like me. Which I'm very glad Corey Tucker never liked me because I know him at this age.
You dodged a bullet.
I dodged a bullet. You are right. So, I knew that I could not put a whipping stick to myself and lose weight. And that's what most people do when they're trying to be disciplined. They confuse discipline with beat downs, harshness, no flexible rules. It's this or that. The highway, this way or the highway. That's what most people think discipline is. And to me, discipline, what I have learned over the years is I have become someone who's disciplined. I didn't become someone who was an asshole to themselves, and I didn't become someone who's not flexible. I became someone who knew how to work with themselves in ways that would help them lose weight. So one of my first things was when I was losing weight was I didn't agree to do anything that I thought was going to be too hard that I'd fail at it. So I picked literally the lowest hanging fruit that I could find to make the tiniest of changes just to show myself that I was going to become someone who could change. And if you had looked at my early days, you would have said I was highly undisciplined if you were looking from the outside. But if you looked from the inside, I was actually becoming someone who was figuring out how to just work with herself. So, for you, what I want you to do is I want you to stop trying to be disciplined. For all of you, now you have to take your earmuffs off. For all of you, if you have like a very visceral response to a common, what we would call like positive thinking word or what we think should be happening, you don't want to use it. And we just don't want to waste time trying to figure out how to make you. Like, we can spend a lot of time trying to figure out how to get you to have a healthy relationship with discipline. Or we can just say, fuck discipline. What does Tammy want to try today that doesn't feel like it's that hard? We can always just do that.
Okay. Okay.
So, what do you want to try?
Maybe just go back to just really trying to pay attention to my body and really trying to hear when it's had enough food. Maybe just go back to that.
Okay. And what if we did this? What if we said for the next couple of weeks, the only goal I have is to chart when I've had enough, not to stop at enough. I just want to know what does enough really look like for Tammy. And if I feel like stopping, that's great. If I naturally am like, you know what? Yeah, I could just leave the rest of this parfait. And I'm okay with that. But if you're just like, well, enough is only half, but I'm not ready to stop it enough today, then let's not. So like, okay, I'm glad to know that in the next couple of weeks that three quarters of a parfait I've just noticed every time I eat one, that's about when I hit enough. I wonder what it would be like to eat just three quarters and then go back for the last quarter 30 minutes later just to see if I still want it. Like, there's so many different ways to try it, but the difference between discipline, like in your world, a disciplined person has to stop when, like, when the rule is glaring, we must follow the rule. And someone who loses weight doesn't think like that. Someone who loses weight is like, okay, I'm figuring this out. I'm not kind of ready for that step, but I'm ready for this step. So I'm going to do this step first, and then I'm going to do this step. That's someone who's like figuring things out. And if you stay more in that mindset, you don't have to worry about discipline. You don't have to be disciplined at all. You just have to stay curious. You just have to stay open. And you just have to be willing. Like, am I willing to stop? If I'm not, I won't. And I will just note the reason why I wanted to finish the parfait today was because. So I was at enough at three quarters. I tried my halftime method. Three quarters was where enough was. I wanted to finish it, and it was because of this reason. It tasted so good. Good to know. Now what I can do is I can either go to ask coaches and work on it tastes so good. I can remind myself, like the next time I'm eating it, maybe I should slow down and remind myself this does taste really good. And I get to eat it. Like with every bite, I get to remind myself, like I get to have parfaits all the time now if I want them. And so we stop trying to be disciplined and we just start trying to be there for ourselves. What do you think?
I think that's probably right. And I think that I can try to approach it this way because I think that being here as long as I've been here, that probably I have been battling myself the whole time, like fighting with myself instead of just working with myself. So now.
That's a great realization. So for you, I want you to, pay attention more rather than just paying attention to enough, because this is probably something that bleeds through your life in different areas. Where am I battling against myself to get things done? And where am I being there for myself in order to get things done? And you can even, like, in the moment, feel into it. Like, when you're trying, like, let's say you are eating, like, you're just gonna, like, really think about it when you're eating. You can just say, am I, like, in this moment, and am I being there for myself? Am I being patient? Am I being curious as to what's going on? Am I being aware? Or am I being trying to be overly disciplined? Am I trying to be commanding? Am I battling with myself? Am I like using harsh language? Go ahead and say what you're going to say now that I've got a frog in my throat.
It's making me think of things that I've heard you say, or Coach MJ, I don't know which one of you say, that you need to treat yourself like you would treat a child or your child. And it's making me a little emotional because it's what I'm hearing. And I still don't know how to be kind to myself.
So this is probably where your weight loss is on the other side. Your weight loss is not going to be because you're going to become disciplined. It sounds like you're already disciplining yourself plenty. Your weight loss is going to come from, like, not disciplining yourself anymore, to like becoming a good friend to yourself, a listener of yourself, someone who coaches yourself, who understand, like tries to understand yourself. And like, and listening is not always easy because in order to listen, you're not going to be listening for the cheerleader. She's going to be developed and she's going to be built. In the beginning, to be the listener really requires listening to the part of you that is the discipliner in chief, who doesn't have a nice voice. And you have to be nice to her. She's got to feel safe. She's got to feel like she can let go of those harsh reins. Because in her mind, discipline is how you're going to lose your weight. And we already know that that's you've had 4 years trying it that way. I don't think it's that you've been an undisciplined person. I think you've been trying a lot of things and you've been over-disciplining yourself. And it's caused a visceral reaction to not try things. And so now what we want to do is we want to make her feel okay. It's like, look, I'm going to do this in a whole new way. And I'm going to listen for your talk. And when you say like, we have to lose weight, I'm going to tell her, we really don't. I'd like to. I can see the positive benefits and stuff. But I don't have to do it. But here are the loving reasons why I might want to. Because she probably has a shit ton of awful reasons to lose weight. In her mind, she's attacking you. You're this and you're that and you can't have this and this will be wrong if you don't. It's like, I hear you, but that's not how we're losing weight this time. We're going to do it this way. And I think when you start calming down, little things like, you know, like when we talk about, like we get so hard on ourselves about the halftime method and stuff. It's hard to do it when you're yelling at yourself, when you have no buy-in, when you've got all kinds of fear around it. Like, why would you want to do the halftime method if all it's going to do is bring up the harsh voice in you? If it's going to take away food that you might want. So that's why we have to kind of come at this from that new approach.
Okay.
Use Ask Coaches as you do this. Like anytime that you get into it and you start thinking like you'll hear your brain tell you things you have to do and it will make so much sense. But I'm going to tell all of you, no one has to stop it enough to lose weight. You might have really good reasons why stopping it enough is going to be better for you, but none of you have to do that. Nobody has to wait for hunger. We might want to wait for hunger in certain situations because when we don't, we suffer these consequences. Nobody has to plan their food. You might want to so that you're not relying on the version of you who's tired to make food decisions. But I'm going to promise all of you, none of you have to do jack shit. Okay. Have you taken the self-love course?
I started.
You started? Okay.
That's started. But wow, it's funny you asked me that. Yep. I'm going to finish it.
Yeah. And give yourself plenty of time. There's no rush. Like really think about, like, I might need to take it a few times.
Okay.
To really get it, to really understand it. And that's okay. You might just want to listen to it. Like for now, just listen to the, no, why I got so much shit in my throat all at once. But you might just want to listen to it a few times to kind of let it marinate.
Okay.
Before you even do some of the work. Or you may want to do the work alongside it. It's however you want to do it. But I want you to be thinking about, for you, this is what's so crazy, is a lot of times when people think they lack discipline, I don't think you're lacking discipline. I think you've got a lot of fear around trying things.
Okay.
I think you've got so much discipline in you that you're scaring the shit out of yourself to even try things. And it's like, I think for you, you need more flexibility you need more grace. You need more compassion. Like, I want you to think about the one thing you don't need is discipline. You absolutely need these other things that come from self-love and are way always. Anytime, like, you believe in yourself, if you can talk nice to yourself, if you can have compassion for yourself, if you can have understanding for yourself, if you're flexible with yourself, those people tend to be more successful. People who are really hard on themselves don't always, like, most people flame out because it drains your energy so bad. It drives up fear, it drives up anxiety, and our brains hate those things. So it will do everything to avoid those. Okay.
Right.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you, Tammy.
Thank you so much.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay. We went a little over today. So for all of you, let me tell you what's happening next week. I'm gonna look at, let me look out next week. Let's see. I will see y'all on Wednesday. Busting your three biggest holiday eating obstacles. And I will also see y'all next Sunday. So I'll be with y'all next week. We are continuing to work on some exciting things for y'all. There are so many cool things happening in January. I cannot wait to start telling you about them. One of which I know y'all are going to love. And it is a project that we're working on actively. So if you, let's just say this. If you wish you had Corinne in your ear every day, just a little bit of Corinne every day that sometimes kicks your ass, sometimes love you, sometimes teaching you something, like one little thing to try each day, it might be coming in January. All right. Y'all have a good one. Bye, y'all.